Local policymakers, all the way up to national leaders, are trying to figure out the right way to respond to passionate calls for police reform. President Donald Trump signed an executive order urging police departments to improve training and ban chokeholds in certain situations and establish a national database of officers with multiple complaints against them. We're talking about police reform here on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. And we're more than 3 weeks into national demonstrations after George Floyd's death. Video shows a white Minneapolis police officer kneeling on his neck for minutes, and an autopsy confirms it killed Floyd. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the head of Wisconsin's largest law enforcement union? What do you want to know about how it works with police officers and departments? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Certainly. The public is calling for change. People are dying at the hands of police. Race plays a role. What are the transformative ways that police can change these outcomes?
Well, I think, you know, in large part, if we have to begin by having an informed conversation, a public discourse about what's going on with law enforcement generally throughout the country, and also at the same time, what's going on with the law enforcement community here in Wisconsin? Because I think there are some notable distinctions. You know, a lot of the reforms that have been discussed thus far are already very well established in Wisconsin. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have room to grow. We certainly do. And I think the law enforcement profession is one that's unique in that way, that it is always looking to improve and build upon its strengths. So, you know, we're doing our part to talk about, you know, the issues of law enforcement and its relationship with, you know, communities of color in particular. But we also need to have a broader public discourse about, you know, systemic bias in our country and in our state.
How do we begin those conversations, though?
Well, I think, you know, things like this help. I mean, I, like many people throughout the nation, officers in Wisconsin, you know, saw the horrific video demonstrating the gross mistreatment of George Floyd at the hands of the officers in Minneapolis. And, you know, for our part, we had to start by coming out, like many people did, and expressing, you know, that the point that was not representative of the law enforcement community here in Wisconsin. You know, that with regard to the chokeholds and, you know, the kneeling on the neck of George Floyd and the abuse that we all witnessed him suffering, you know, those are techniques that are not even taught here in Wisconsin. And so I think it's important to talk about, you know, where law enforcement in our state in particular has demonstrated some strengths and how we can build upon those strengths. And at the same time, be responsive and sensitive to those who, you know, saw the George Floyd video. And while it's not representative of the law enforcement community in this state, in our opinion, we also at the same time recognize that, you know, that is an experience that is shared and that by many Americans of color and throughout the country. And we have to be responsive to that. And we have to, you know, try and move this public dialogue forward.
You mentioned that those are specific maneuvers not taught in Wisconsin, but are they used by Wisconsin law enforcement officers?
I'm not aware that they are. They are not taught as part of the law enforcement curriculum in this state, and that's been the case for many years. It's also true at the same time that they're not prohibited. They are specifically in the law enforcement curriculum. Officers are instructed not to do those things, but they aren't prohibited under the law. And so that's why we've come out and said, you know, that banning chokeholds and things of that nature make perfect sense for us. We don't have any problem with that. I have never encountered in all the years I've been working for our association, I've never encountered a situation in which that maneuver has been used.
Yeah, I mean, NPR reports that chokeholds have been banned in the New York police for almost 30 years, and yet there are still hundreds of complaints a year about their use. So, and you publicly said we support a chokehold ban. How do you see that chokehold ban being enforced and holding officers who use it accountable?
Well, I think, you know, in this day and age, as more and more agencies begin to institute body-worn camera programs, which is a practice that we have largely supported for several years, which also stands in stark contrast to some of the positions, exemplified by other police unions around the country. People have cell phones and people have cameras. And, I think every law enforcement officer ought to know, if they don't already, that, chances are whatever action they take in any given case is likely to be recorded. And so if officers utilize holds that are either outlawed or prohibited, they need to be held accountable. And our organization has long stood for that proposition. We've lobbied the legislature to add accountability within the law enforcement profession and to add transparency as well. And so we think this is a continuation of that effort.
Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and we're talking with him about calls for police reform and what that looks like in Wisconsin. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the leader of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association? Do you support the idea of defunding police, moving some money that goes to police departments now to other services? What response do you want to see from police forces at this time? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You're also welcome to email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jim, you just mentioned body cams. Calls for body cameras gained steam in Wisconsin after officers killed black men in 2013 and 2014, and yet we still see deaths at the hands of police officers. What role has body camera footage played when we've seen those officer-involved shootings in our state?
Well, body camera footage, in every single case that I've worked and I've represented, and we represent, in fact, as an organization, the vast majority of officers that are involved in officer-involved shootings, for instance, in every case in which body camera evidence has been present, it has been helpful in terms of providing some a clear picture of what transpired, and it can help determine whether or not the officer was justified in taking the action that he or she did. And it really, body camera evidence in particular, it provides the communities that are impacted by these devastating events, these tragic events, because every officer involved death is tragic, regardless of the circumstances, but as it relates to a determination as to whether or not an officer acted appropriately, the circumstances matter. And so the body camera video can provide a sense of resolution to a community that has every right to demand answers.
When we're talking about use of force, 2 weeks ago on this program, we spoke with State Representative Chris Taylor, who says we need a model use of force policy for law enforcement agencies. It would guide officers on how to deal with members of the public, for instance, if they're having mental health crises or addiction, for example. Do you support that idea?
We do. And I think it's important to note that the State Department of Justice does have a model law enforcement policy. And so that does already exist. In fact, there's been a lot of discussion, I think legitimate discussion, about Chris Taylor's legislation, Assembly Bill 1012, which would require that certain principles being incorporated into every use of force policy in the state. And I think that's a legitimate discussion from a public policy perspective. I think it's also important to recognize that all of those principles are already well established in Wisconsin, whether some in state statute, some in the administrative code, and some in the law enforcement curriculum that governs training in this state. I think, again, whether or not we should codify those things into a single statute, we're not opposed to that by any means.
So if that's the case, that all of these policies exist somewhere in Wisconsin, are those policies enough?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think, you have a lot of agencies in communities around the state that are taking a closer look at their policies and to make sure that they're reflective of the, the goals of each agency and that they're, sensitive to the times in which we live. And I think that's a healthy, regular practice in which, to engage in. And I think the policies in Wisconsin are good. Again, that doesn't mean that we can't improve upon them. I think Wisconsin has led the way and, I think is very progressive when compared to agencies and law enforcement communities around the country. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't constantly reevaluate how law enforcement does its job.
What about the issue of qualified immunity? That's a shield for police officers so they can't be sued. And yet we see doctors can be sued, reporters can be sued, rideshare drivers. We assume that all of these people can do their jobs at a high standard and still be held accountable if they don't do them right. Why are police different?
Well, because I think, you know, law enforcement is obviously a job where officers are expected to make life, split second decisions, life and death decisions. And if they're done in the course of their service, and they haven't broken any law or violated any policy, it's well established that they should be, have some protection. They should be insulated to some extent. I think restricting that or peeling that back could be very dangerous to the law enforcement community. And I don't know there's been some scholarship recently that, simply repealing qualified immunity in and of itself wouldn't change anything, because many states, such as in Wisconsin's one of them, have indemnification statutes, which still require that, an employer to indemnify or basically represent officers that are sued for things done in the course of their employment.
We're talking with Jim Palmer, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. And we're talking with him about what police reform might look like, what the state of policing is in Wisconsin now, especially as demonstrations have swept across the country, including here in Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for him? What do you want to know about how his organization works for and with police officers and what role the community has in that? What do you want to say about your relationships with officers in your community? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Protesters demonstrating against police brutality want to see changes in law enforcement. Among their demands, defund police. Some say take away all public dollars. Others argue for taking a portion of money that goes to police departments and shifting those resources to areas like education and mental health resources. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about it with Jim Palmer, who's executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. The number again, 800-642-1234. And Jim, yesterday, the Milwaukee Common Council approved modeling for a 10% cut in the city's budget for police. In Milwaukee, about one in every $10 of local government spending goes to the police. What are your thoughts on the idea of defunding police, in part or in whole?
Well, and I think it's important to note, just as a prefatory matter, that it seems that the notion of defunding the police means different things to different people and to different groups. And as law enforcement doesn't like to be painted with a broad brush, I try to avoid doing the same with regard to our critics. If we're talking about imposing significant reductions in police spending, I think the defund movement is, counterproductive on multiple levels. As you may know, and as others, some of your listeners may know, our organization has been annually commissioning a statewide poll through the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute on a wide variety of issues related to policing and criminal justice for the last 8 years. And in fact, we're the only law enforcement group in the country that engages in an effort like this. We've consistently posed a number of questions that relate to this issue. And what we found, for example, in 2019, the last year for which we have complete results currently, the vast majority of respondents indicated that they agreed that having a well-funded police department contributes to the quality of life in their community. And that's been consistent over the years that we've asked that question. And we've also asked people, whether they want more officers in their neighborhoods, less officers, or whether they think that number should stay the same. And the majority of the respondents in our poll have indicated they want more officers, not less. And that's especially true for minority respondents. And then lastly, we also asked questions, for example, about community-oriented policing, that is having officers in their neighborhoods that work to develop and foster relationships with the people they serve. And a larger proportion of minority respondents have consistently indicated very strong support for this kind of policing. So I mention these issues within this context because, imposing significant reductions on police spending would seem to compromise some of the law enforcement services and strategies that communities of color in particular value the most. So, we have some serious concerns about, what that means for police departments, what that means for our law enforcement's relationship with the communities they serve, and what it means for officer safety and public safety.
Earlier this week, we had a professor on who's an historian, has written books about police and how all of that works together. And we were talking about the idea, though, that he says the things that we ask of our police departments are extensive, and police aren't trained for all of those things. They might not be the right people to respond to all of those things all the time. So part of the idea of defunding police would be to say our law enforcement officers are not the best people to respond here. Let's bring in the mental health professional. So instead of putting that money into the police, we should put it into mental health professionals. Would you support that kind of shift to try to better serve those communities?
I think law enforcement has long felt that, more and more has been put on, more and more responsibility is put on the backs of officers in our state to respond to situations that they for which they haven't been provided enough support, whether it's resources or training or what have you. And so I think, our position is that we would absolutely agree with, greater investments in social services, and health services, and mental health services in particular. But it's a false dilemma, I think, to say that, we should just simply, make a significant reduction to a police agency and put it in this other area. I think we really need to have a detailed plan, and that I have not necessarily seen. It's our view that this really is something that requires some precise policymaking calibration that we just haven't seen. I'm not aware of, a cadre of social workers that is, that stands at the ready to, fill the gaps that we have left unfilled for so long in our state and in our country. So we would support greater investments in those areas, but we think it needs to be thoughtful in a way that we just haven't seen as of yet. Now, there are a number of communities that are exploring that, and I hope that they begin to have those in-depth discussions.
We're talking with Jim Palmer, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. You're listening to The Morning Show, and Chris from Appleton wants to join the conversation. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
So I might be mistaken, but I thought in Wisconsin that teachers had their collective bargaining rights taken, so no union. So I'm wondering why police are allowed to have a union.
All right. Thanks for the question, Chris. And I think you're referring to Act 10, which did reduce collective bargaining rights for a lot of state and municipal employees, including K-12 teachers. Actually, this week, two conservative researchers from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty argue in favor of extending Act 10 to police unions with the goal of limiting union power and disciplinary measures. So that's on people's minds, Chris. What are your thoughts on that proposal, Jim? Act 10 for police.
Well, it's true. The collective bargaining rights of many public employees in Wisconsin were severely curtailed in 2011. And our organization, stood with teachers and stood with other public employees in opposing those measures. I think some of the discussion about curtailing police union influence or the ability of police unions to, negotiate and represent their members is based on, some misconceptions that simply don't apply to the situation here in Wisconsin. For instance, there's been, some discussion about in Minneapolis, for instance, that, there are provisions in there, the contract for those officers that provides for the destruction of certain personnel records that insulates and shields officers from having to cooperate with investigations into their conduct. Those are things that simply are not present in Wisconsin. And I think it's a misnomer to suggest that, because of the things that You know, we've seen in other states that, you know, we should, again, paint law enforcement in Wisconsin with a broad brush that simply it doesn't fit. Here in our state, as a, you know, the largest law enforcement group, you know, we have worked for greater accountability. We've worked for greater transparency, and not only in how officers' conduct is investigated, but in you know, the hiring and firing of officers in Wisconsin. So it you know, it's not our role, and I think this is a misconception that is held in some parts, that to protect bad apples, because nobody wants a bad officer out of the profession more than a good one. And you know, we view our role as you know, there are times when officers it becomes clear that they should not be in the profession. And we don't benefit in any shape, way, or form, and the profession doesn't benefit by keeping officers that aren't up to the task in the job.
We're quickly running out of time, but I do wonder, when you think of the future of policing, how is it different than what we see today?
Well, I hope what we're seeing now, I hope, I think we're at a turning point, clearly. And I hope we can begin to have an open and honest public dialogue. And we really need to kind of break out of our silos. And I'm saying this as much about our organization as, you know, about anyone else. I mean, our group is an interest group like others. And we know we operate within a narrow set of interests involving criminal justice and policing and labor issues specific to law enforcement. But it's clear that, the problem of racial bias in our country and our state is systemic. And so I think for us, you know, as an organization, we're going to have to get more involved in educational policy and health policy and economic policy, because it's clear that all of these things are interconnected. And we really need to have a broad-based discussion that's focused on a systemic set of solutions.
All right. Hopefully we're starting that now. Jim Palmer, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and we've been talking about what police reform looks like as we see calls for it across the country and here in Wisconsin. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.